J1, number 8B.
We encounter then in the compendium the title, Spirit Separates Ideas from Illusions. Now, what does this mean to us? Now, does this mean that there exists separate from our very own being somewhere a Holy Spirit that is running around separating illusions for us? Now, if you read it, you would think, Spirit separates ideas from illusions. And wouldn't you think, fantastic, there's a Holy Spirit running around separating illusions from ideas. I mean, it sounds like there's a Spirit separates ideas, or doesn't say that Joel separates ideas from illusion, or Chris separates ideas from illusion. It says Spirit does it. So naturally, we can say, well, there's a Holy Spirit running around separating ideas from illusion. Well, obviously the answer is no, this wouldn't be quite scientific. What we must see is that spirit is a super symbol, just as mind is a super symbol for ideas such as intelligence or creator or producer or law. That is a super symbol. Spirit is a supra symbol. There isn't a Holy Spirit running around in the universe. Spirit is a super symbol which stands for understanding. Now, these are symbols. We are reasoning with symbols. It is a super symbol which stands for all those ideas which we have on our list. It is a symbol. Therefore, spirit as a symbol only stands for understanding. Now, spirit means understanding as a symbol. It's a symbol for understanding, or the ability for us to discern or separate ideas from illusions. Therefore, when we say spirit separates ideas from illusions, we can just as well say understanding separates ideas from illusions. Can we see that? Now, it is our understanding. We can't give it to a Holy Spirit somewhere. You see, it is our understanding, our very own understanding, which draws that line of demarcation between ideas and illusions. It is our understanding which draws that line of demarcation between what is real and what is unreal. Therefore, spirit as a symbol stands for understanding, or our ability to discern between ideas and illusions. Now, this is illustrated by the second day of creation in the Bible. And let us look at these days of creation in sequence. Now, in the Bible, we see as the first day of creation, it states, let there be light. That's the first day of creation. Let there be light. Or, let the divine mind manifest itself as intelligent ideas. That's the first thing we see, is that the divine mind manifests itself as intelligent ideas. This is followed by the logical order of the second day of creation, which says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now here, in the second day of creation, a distinct dividing line is drawn between the elements of the divine mind and those of the mortal mind. Now here, in the second day of creation, we see that ideas are being separated from illusions. So in that first thing that we have seen, and we've seen together, is that there are intelligent ideas. And what the second step for us to do is to use that intelligence, which we have of mind, because we have that divine mind, we use that intelligence, which comes as understanding, to separate ideas from illusions. That's a logical step, where we first see that there are intelligent ideas, and therefore we must separate those ideas from illusions. Now, mortal minds, material illusions, we must see also, illusions or false beliefs never mingle with ideas. They never mingle with ideas, they never mix with ideas at all. And in Science and Health, in the glossary, just to point up the fact that the firmament in the second day of creation means that we must draw a line of demarcation between ideas and illusions. In the glossary of Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy gives as a definition for firmament, she says that it means spiritual understanding, the scientific line of demarcation between truth and error, between spirit and so-called matter. That's the firmament. It's to draw the line of demarcation. Therefore, we can see that the lessons that that first day of creation and the second day of creation are teaching us, or the lessons we could say that mind and spirit are teaching us, is that first, as I've said again, and I just like to say these things again and again so we feel them, is that the divine mind alone manifests itself as intelligent ideas, and that it is spirit or our understanding which must draw the line of demarcation between ideas and illusion. That's the sequence. The Bible also mentions how it's so important for us to make this distinction between ideas and illusions. The Bible in Romans states, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Therefore, it is so important for each one of us to know in which direction we are living, and it's so important for us to know just actually in which direction the world is living and gearing itself towards. Because we must see the importance is to be spiritually minded and not carnally minded. And you know that word carnal pertains to the flesh or sensuality or lustfulness, whatever is opposed to spiritual being. Now, that's the big tone of spirit. This is what we will always feel with spirit, is that spirit is saying, as a super symbol, we must have understanding. And that understanding is demanding us to separate ideas from illusion. And that understanding is demanding us to always turn to the spiritual. Often we have seen within ourselves or others that the human or there's something within us that is often not willing to let go of false beliefs. There is something within us that may not want to let go of that first degree of false beliefs. Maybe we're having a really good time, you know, living it up in whatever way we're going and we feel, well, you know, I'm not going to yield. But one sees that it's actually a demand upon us, that the demand of spirit, so to speak, or understanding, is to separate and come out of false physical thinking and to come into a spiritual awareness. Now, if one hangs on to physical beliefs, you can see that this oftentimes causes what we call sorrow or disharmony, if one isn't willing to let go. Now, we can see that looking back in our lives, and many of us can just look back at yesterday maybe, and see that the biggest period of difficulties and sorrow and unhappiness, those biggest difficulties is actually, as we know, those are the periods in which we are being forced to give up some false belief. Somewhere where in our life we are encountering the biggest storms and difficulties that we ever have encountered is because somewhere we're being asked to give up major false beliefs of some sort. And we're being asked to come in and find our true identity in a new way. So if it appears for us to go through times of difficulties, we can kind of just say, well, now, just a minute, what's happening? And we can kind of look back at those difficult times and see that those are the times where we really made our greatest steps forward spiritually. Because it really forced us to let go of false beliefs and to search out for our true identity. Because when things are not going well, we say, well, who am I? What's the world about? And we search like mad, really, to find out who we are, and we search for our true identity. So the times of biggest difficulties are really the greatest steps forward spiritually. And this is what the second beatitude is teaching when Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, we see we are comforted by knowing that we are making big gains spiritually if we're seeking out our true identity. So during these times of chemicalization, so to speak, and we'll go on to define that term later, but a big difficulty, we can just say, let go. I have attached on my wall in my room where I study, it just says, detach, keep loose, and flow. Meaning, you know, just keep loose all the time. Just try not to resist situations which seem difficult. Keep loose and hang always on to a high sense of what you know is right. and hang on to it, and you'll make it through. Regardless, we make it through. If you hang on to what you know is right and just keep loose, don't resist, just flow. And this is bridging over that whole belief of death even, because to die is to want to hang on to the past or to past experience. And one never will really experience what is called death if we just keep loose, just welcome new experiences and let old faults, experiences we don't even need, go. Let the past go and always live in the now. One will never experience death, and be loose and hang on to our highest sense of what we know to be true. That is the idea of spirit to separate. We must draw the line of demarcation between ideas and illusions. And this is what understanding, as the next idea which characterizes spirit, is again, understanding then is just the symbol for spirit. And understanding means here the faculty of discernment, or in other words, the ability to separate the real from the unreal, as we have seen. We must stand firm then and see the nothingness of physical beliefs and the allness of spiritual reality. And Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health, understanding is the line of demarcation between the real and the unreal. See, this is what spirit is teaching. It's a beautiful super symbol. It's just asking for understanding and to draw that line of demarcation between ideas and illusion. This is all it's asking. It's very powerful. Now we come to the idea, another idea which characterizes spirit, and that is warfare. And in the compendium we have a title which says, Warfare Between Flesh and Spirit. Now, understanding not only gives us the ability to discern and separate between spiritual ideas and false beliefs, but understanding also enables us to go to war, so to speak, against these false beliefs. We not only have the ability to distinguish ideas from illusion, but we have, therefore, the understanding which makes us go to war against false beliefs. Now, this is very natural. We know this within ourselves, that if our consciousness is just filled with spiritual facts, or if our consciousness is just filled, let's say, with that third degree there, filled with wisdom or purity or spiritual understanding or love, we know quite naturally that we go to war just within ourselves if anything comes up that suggests fear or deceit or hatred or revenge. We know when we are seeing being in a, from a very spiritual sense, if a hateful thought or revengeful thought or a sinful thought enters into our sphere of awareness, we just go to war at it, so to speak, and try to dissolve it. Even within ourselves, if we know how to be and react, if within ourselves we start feeling kind of prideful, then we go to war against that within ourselves. Or we start experiencing fear. We war against that false belief until it dissolves. Our understanding wars against that within ourselves, you see. So we just keep warring against ourselves until we get rid of all our false beliefs. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy says, it is a warfare with the flesh in which we must conquer sin, sickness, and death, either here or hereafter, certainly before we can reach the goal of spirit or life in God. This understanding not only gives us, makes us have the ability to go to war, but you see, we come to the next idea which characterizes spirit, which is strength. This understanding gives us the strength to war against those false beliefs of mortal mind. Now, strength just means the power of resisting attacks. To be strong usually suggests the power that resists destructive forces, or to be strong also suggests possessing great inner power. Now, isn't this, it's just logical. We can just see that if we understand, we can have all the strength that there's necessary to war against false belief. If we know something is true, we will just, like everything, go at something that we feel is not true. We have that strength because of our understanding, you see. to follow a sequence here. The divine mind is all intelligent. And our spirit, we have that spiritual understanding then to stand firm. And we can stand firm. So we could say, therefore, that the intelligent power of mind becomes the understanding strength of spirit. You see, that intelligent power becomes understanding strength. It's just that simple. Our understanding of spiritual ideas enables us to have strength or to stand firm. Now, this strength actually keeps us, and standing firm for spiritual facts keeps us from being icky wishy-washy, so to speak. It keeps us from being middle of the roaders, and it keeps us from being, what else could we call ourselves? Always in a halfway position, like a pendulum swinging back way and forth. You see, if we are strong and we stand firm for what we know is spiritual ideas and facts, this keeps us standing in a position which is firm, and it keeps us from being like a pendulum going between illusions one day and coming into ideas the next way, and going between illusions the next day and coming into ideas and having real bad physical days and then having real good spiritual days. One begins to see that if we stand firm, we have the strength to maintain that understanding. Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health, rise in the strength of spirit to resist all that is unlike good. Now, we come to another idea which characterizes spirit, and that is that of leavening. Our spiritual warfare with false beliefs lasts until all, that means like all of our false beliefs are dissolved. So we then can center and focus our whole understanding just on spiritual facts. Leaven, to leaven means anything which makes a general change in the mass. And in Science and Health we read, the leaven of spirit changes the whole of mortal thought as yeast changes the chemical properties of meal. Therefore we can see leavening is a biblical term, but it means that process which goes on within each one of us to dissolve false beliefs. And in the compendium we see that the alchemy of spirit means the mental and moral chemistry which brings about the changes necessary to lead man spiritually upward. Now, as we've just mentioned, this leavening process might cause a resistance within us and we may chemicalize. In other words, if we resist spiritual reality and refuse to let go of physical beliefs, then we may often go through a period of great upheaval, as we have just seen. Now, Mrs. Eddy calls this period of great upheaval chemicalization. If we resist, we chemicalize. Now, she defines this term in Science and Health in this way. She says, what I term chemicalization is the upheaval produced when immortal truth is destroying erroneous mortal belief. Mental chemicalization brings sin and sickness to the surface, forcing impurities to pass away, as is the case with fermenting fluid. Now, that happens only if we resist. And as we have seen, its understanding, again in a simple way, gives us the strength not to resist, and it gives us the strength to just go or flow with being and flow with reality. The thing is, what's so important is to see that mind's will is mandatory in law. The whole scientific translation of immortal mind, going from that first degree to the second degree to the third degree, is being impelled upon us by being itself, you see, because reality is spiritual, and it's impelling man to become less and less material. So the whole, each one of us must make those steps from that first degree to the second degree to the third degree. It's being impelled upon us. So we can't, if we resist, we'll chemicalize, but sooner or later, as Mrs. Eddy says, whether it's here or after death, we have to let go and flow. And in this way, by letting go, we avoid what we call chemicalizing. And that's a very practical thing that we can take with us.